Hello, welcome back to Seeking Scale. Andy, how's it going this week?
It's going. Yeah, I feel like I've spent almost as much time shoveling the driveway as I have on work. The joys of like coming back from a nice trip to Florida, but coming back to Maine after a snowstorm came through and it's all turned to ice. But yeah, so it's without going too far down this rabbit hole, it's like we just, with everything going on, did not sign up for someone to plow the driveway. And it's kind of a long one. That backfired over this weekend, but then I was like, all right, let's find the plow. And everyone's like, no, like we're just booked for the season. And it's like, okay. So I found this guy named Keith on Craigslist that I'm hoping is a real winner, but we'll see.
All right. Nice.
I mean, it's you're plowing a driveway. I feel like it's hard to like really mess it up.
Yeah.
There's not that much you could hit, I don't think. But other than that, it's all been going well, just getting kind of geared up for Christmas, for the year end, that sort of thing. But how's everything on your end?
Good. Yeah. Like racing to the finish, I think is how I would describe this week. So like last week was just hellish. I mean, Monday and Tuesday were off like flying here and closing on the house and buying a car and getting furniture and all this stuff. And then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I don't know if I told you I got my booster on Wednesday. And so like Thursday just felt like hell. And so last week was just terrible, like just really terrible. I was maybe only working like 50% capacity. This week has been really great. Like I tell you, like one of the really amazing things about kind of being here is like I start work at 8:30 and I finish at 5 and that's it. Like I don't feel bad at all about finishing at 5 because almost nothing happens after that. You know, like our customers and our team are turned off. Like we have one team member in Colorado and another in Vancouver, but both of them work kind of early hours. So they're also done around 5. And, you know, most of our customers that need things from me are, you know, working regular business hours. And so it's really like life-changing to be able to say like, okay, I'm going to work 8 to 5 and I'm going to feel good about that and good about being done at 5. Yeah. Like this time of year, we were saying like it's dark at 4:15, but in the summer, I can imagine it being like really amazing. And like, we're really close, like can ride my bike down to the water and paddleboard or whatever in the evenings in the summer, like really looking forward to that and not having like the weight looming of like, oh, our whole team has another, you know, 6 hours of work ahead of me when I would have like quit working in France. Cause like I almost never quit work at 5 in France. It was always like 7 or 8 o'clock. And so that was just like, I knew it was a bummer, but it like, you didn't know until you're here how big of a bummer it was.
And I mean, I'm someone who's, momentum is big for me. Like some people can, and once kids come into the picture, maybe it just will change by necessity. But like, once I take a real break, it's very hard for me to get back into things. I know a lot of people will get off at the end of the day, they'll have dinner, they'll hang out with the kids, and then put in like another couple hours after that. And it's like, to get back into, not even like I'm doing crazy deep work, but just even to get the motivation to get back into things, it's like, that takes me so much time. And then like, I'm not going to be able to sleep at the end of it. And so I'm on a more similar schedule to you where it's like starting at normal times for Eastern and just being able to wrap up at the end. Have you had to adjust sleep, anything at all around it? Or was it pretty much on the same schedule, at least as far as that goes?
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good. I mean, I think I'm still a little jet lagged, like going to bed early and waking up at like 6, but that's okay. Like I kind of want to keep doing that because I just like getting up early. So yeah, it's all good. But then like the rest of it is like taking off starting tomorrow until the first, like my first vacation in a really long time. Everything is pretty well set. Like we've been doing a lot of OKR discussions with the team and can talk about that some and kind of our main update to plan for the first quarter. All that's good. Pretty much everything is off my plate with one kind of exception. And I'm working on just a little more time today to brief someone on the team to kind of handle those things for the next week. Yeah. And then hopefully really taking a week off, you know, a week and a half off for the first time in forever, basically. So really looking forward to getting
very well deserved.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
At this point in time, yeah, we're recording. I mean, there's still 9 days left in the year, but how are you just feeling about 2021 at least as it relates to the business?
You know, it's funny. I think that we don't give ourselves, none of us give ourselves enough credit, you know, for the things that we've done, and am trying to keep that in mind because, yeah, I mean, we've doubled this year, probably, you know, more. I'll have to look at what our MRR was this time last year, but yeah, done a lot of amazing stuff this year. And I mean, the team is more than doubled, you know, raised money a lot more than we planned on, made, you know, quite a few hires, were able to promote people within and like getting the sales team and process working in a pretty short amount of time, you know, is kind of like, as I look back at the year, like the things that we did along with everything else, you know, it's like, those are my additional focuses, I guess. And like, I have to feel really good about that, you know, like, are there things that are still warts in my kind of business life? 100%, you know, did I work really super hard this year? Yep. And I think that I really need this time off, you know, because I just am tired, you know, like there was just a lot of emotional non-work stuff with, you know, deciding to move back to the US. And I mean, for months before we actually decided, you know, talking about that with my wife and our kids and stuff. And so just a lot of like non-work emotional stuff that is just kind of unraveling now that we're here and feeling good.
You're there, you're in the house, but so there's got to be some relief of that. It's like, all right, like we don't need to think about this anymore. We're here, we bought a house, but you're in a new old house that, like, you got a couch at least, but
the bookshelves kind of behind me are bare. Right?
But yeah, it's like, it's got to be, I can see how the decompressing can help because you're going to have some weight lift off your shoulders, but then you just look around like, oh shit, there's still like a bunch still.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean, we really like owning a house and being homeowners and doing things to a house. So I think in that respect, that's really good actually, that like we have a bit of a project house and it's a cool distraction. You know, it's a cool, I don't want to say a hobby, but you know, ultimately it's a hobby. It's something we spend our time and money on, you know, on the weekends and evenings and stuff. So yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we're going down to Florida to see my folks tomorrow. So, you know, until like the week between Christmas and New Year's, and then we'll have, you know, 5 or 6 days here until New Year's. And then like the kids go back to school and things will be relatively normal after that. So yeah, I think that this time is really good and important.
I'm still at that spot where it's fortunately like didn't get super far behind during the honeymoon and then this last trip, but it's like I didn't make amazing progress. So it's like I feel like the hole didn't get deeper, but there's still a good amount to get caught up on. And fortunately, even like this entire week, I just feel like everyone else slows down as well. And so it just does seem at least like nothing else is getting added. So I'm finally able to like, all right, like I'm making some progress here. And so yeah, I've just been viewing this as get through as much of this admin stuff as I can that I've just been putting off for so long, so that I won't pretend it'll be like starting with a clean slate Jan 1, but at least we'll have a good amount of this behind me. And a lot of that will have to do with moving over to Just Works, so I can just stop having to figure out all of these different forms that I get from the different states we have people in and just don't think about that anymore.
And for everyone who doesn't know, what is Just Works?
Yeah, so Just Works is what's called a PEO, which I don't know what it stands for. You might
not. I don't either. It's no, like, no, I don't either.
It's basically where like they sort of, Derek Reimer, I was actually listening to the most recent Art of Product, and he had like a very good one sentence description of what they did, and I just can't remember it. But it's like you effectively like partner with this company, they employ your employees, you pay them all that, but like they register with the states, they handle all of that admin stuff. And it doesn't, I would have never thought this was actually like a thing, and it's not as though we're big now, but even just with, I think we're maybe 5 states and adding another one, it's just like every time it's figuring out, it takes a week to figure out all the forms, not like a 40 hours, but like it's work every single day, figuring out the forms, submitting them, waiting to hear back. They send you this other form that you have to then ask Gusto what to do with it about. And then it takes them a week to reply. And it's just like, it just causes a ton of open loops that I just hate thinking about. And then I just don't deal with any of them until I like absolutely have to. And so that's that. This will resolve a lot of those issues, or so is the promise. But
aside from, and not to get like too into like dirty laundry or anything, but like aside from like Just Works and PEO and state registration and stuff like that, I know that admin stuff is something that you talk about a lot on the show. And understandably, like it's a lot of what takes our time, but like from a bigger picture perspective, like how are you thinking about improving that situation like next year?
This was something I kind of realize, and I'm sure for listeners it's annoying that it took me this long to realize, but like going back over my notes, yeah, like the idea of just always being overwhelmed it was just mentioned like every episode, and we hit some really big milestones. We doubled, we grew the team, we got an investment from one of our partners, and we're really happy with where things are at. But I never solved, not even solved, I never really even improved the things that are impacting me, which then also do impact the business. And a lot of it's around, I just blanket it as admin stuff. And I know it's probably pretty vague, but to me, it's just everything that has to get done that doesn't actually provide much value. And what I've been thinking more about is like, all right, like how do we make sure to fix that going forward? And I'm sure there's ways I could have done this earlier, but it's just like when you are, we did raise some money, but it's like hundreds of thousands. And when you're hiring engineers and other people, like it goes pretty quick. So like that gave us a cushion, but still it's not as though we have like an endless bank account. So we do have to make trade-offs with all of our hires, and it's trying to plug those gaps. And I think I really just like left my finger on the leak for too long. And it's just like, now I'm kind of spread out, just like trying to cover up all these holes. And it's like, all right, like I need some help on my end a bit more. And so part of it is going to be really just improving our processes and just taking operations a bit more seriously. I touched on this in some of the recent episodes about like, I should just implement EOS, entrepreneurial operating system from the Traction book. And it's like, I don't need to reinvent the wheel. And what happens is I will create like 40% of a good process, and then it works enough. And then like, I'll do that for another one because like something's on fire over here. And then I found myself like, I think this is where I was at like for the last year. It's like, things were running. I was still needed for a lot of it, but things were going fine. And it was just hard to like take the time, like, all right, rather than sacrifice my time in the weeds on like working on marketing or whatever else to fix the systems, like I'm just going to keep shipping things and moving things forward. And I think that's a big reason that I got to where I am now, is like part of it is with clearer responsibilities for the team that we have, better tracking of what people are working on, better prioritization, that sort of thing. A lot of the admin stuff will really just go away or get delegated to other people. And that's kind of the big thing. And it'll also make it easier to potentially bring someone in down the road to help run that. But it's really just saying, okay, like marketing stuff, like that's kind of going to just be on hold. And we are fortunate to be in a situation where we have enough initiatives, whether it's a new betting product or our partnerships or whatever it is, that like there's still a lot of growth that we can get by just executing on what's in front of us and not having to like throw more bodies at it. Does that mean there's not other things that we could be doing to accelerate that even more? Sure. But I think we're at a good spot where I can pause on new initiatives, make sure what we have in place is running really well, and just really work on building out those systems and bring on an EA. Because there is like, I think a lot of it is with the lack of systems, it's hard for me to delegate. It's not clear who should be doing what. And then there's still some things that like I can just delegate to a dedicated person to handle that.
For me, like systems and delegation, like there's two multiple, I guess, levels of them. But like for a lot of us, like one is like, okay, things have to get done, right? I can't do all of them. We have talented people on the team. Some of them need to handle some of these things. And so you figure out how to delegate and have someone be able to handle like these things that are happening. The next level is the outcomes and the measurement and the reporting of those, you know, and I think that's like where you are. And then I think the next one is them then delegating and creating processes, you know, and like, I don't have an answer. It's just an observation that like, we have some people on our team that are in the first category. We have some that are in the second category, and we have some that are in the third category. And it's like, yeah, it's just like that leverage of like our time and our focus is when you have a conversation with someone who's able to take what you're saying, create the process, create the measurables and the reporting, and then delegate it to someone else. Like, that's so powerful. I think that you're past the first stage with most things, you know? And I would just like say, maybe try to think about like as you're handing these things off or creating a way for someone else to take care of them is like, yeah, build in that reporting and the data points and the measurement and the and your feedback to them in that process as you're doing this, so that you don't have to think about it anymore. That like them knowing they're doing a good job is obvious because of how things are reported.
Yeah, and I think you might be being generous in assuming we're beyond that part. And I think like we have decent systems in place, but it's just like things just in general are a mess. And the biggest thing that I feel is there's not consistency, and that it's my fault. Is like I'll put some things in Notion, but some things go in Slack and don't get logged. And it's just like there's so many moving pieces where, frankly, one of the benefits of narrowing some people's responsibilities will be to me of not just like giving them a bunch of random shit and then they get pulled. Like when they're getting put in a lot of directions, a lot of times it's because of me. And then 2 weeks later, I was like, wait, what about this other, like this thing that I actually thought was the most important thing? Like why hasn't anything happened on that? It's because, oh yeah, I asked you to do all these other random things too. And so like part of it really is going back to me of just making sure that the active work is visible so that like, if I assign you something, if someone else does, if a customer does whatever, like put it somewhere so like I can actually see like, okay, this is what's going on. This is why nothing gets done, is because you're adding so much to your plate. And so I do think part of it is visualizing the work in progress and then just like limiting how much there can be. And so I don't think we need like a crazy overhaul to any of this. I think like what I'll take out of EOS is going to be just better tracking in Notion, which isn't really part of the system, but like Kanban style, backlog, here's what we're working on. Don't take too many things out of the backlog. Better prioritization of what we are taking out of it. But beyond that, it'll, I think having like better agendas in the meetings will help. And just a better cadence of when do we go back into things and say, is this still the most important thing? Like, do like, because a lot of times what will happen is we'll have a lightly scoped idea of where we're trying to go with this. We'll make a lot of progress on it. And then it just feels like it never ends. And part of that is just the failure of like not scoping better up front, but it's also not prioritizing because it's like, okay, like this is good enough, ship this. And like at this point, when we're just doing cosmetic things that don't really make a difference, there's other higher value stuff that's come up and we should be just adapting. We should be a little bit more agile. So I think part of it is effectiveness, but also it's like me just getting better at saying no to more things and just staying focused.
I think that something you mentioned of like having everyone's work be visible is something that we're trying really hard to do as well. And it builds, hopefully, like I hope it builds a culture of achievement, you know? And it's like
right, you can see what you've done.
Yeah. Competitiveness. You know, like we definitely see it between our two account executives. Like everything's there, right? Their numbers and their pipeline and everything is right there in HubSpot. And like I can just, you know, I don't want to say I can go compare them, but like I can go and see like what each of them are doing. And like, we want to do the same across the board, you know? And like, we've started doing things like sharing wins every week. Like the first couple minutes of each team meeting is talking about wins everyone had from, you know, the previous week. We have a channel in Slack for it. And like, you know, folks like, you know, from our team that are listening, like if you don't have a win for a couple of weeks, like, you know, like there's probably something wrong, you know? And like we go around and like almost everyone has a win every week. And that's really cool. And it can be personal even, you know, like mine was moving last week and not dying. But like, I think it's just important to share that and to build that culture of achievement, you know, like culture, we talk about culture a lot, like cool startup culture, but like culture of like kicking ass is a culture too, you know? And like, I don't think that that's wrong.
No. I don't either. I mean, I know there's like a lot of books out there. It's like Netflix has a very specific culture. Snowflake has a very specific culture. And in my opinion, it's like figuring out the right balance for you and for your team. And normally you would just assume like the more sales-driven organization, the more towards that like sports team metaphor they're going to lean versus like a family one. And I think like we're in that vein, even without as much sports-driven, sales-driven activity. But it's like feeling as though I feel like when you don't have a clear system in place, when you're not clear on responsibilities, when you give people too many things, it's really like you have that attitude, you're just coming across as a dick. And it's like, my team's supposed to know how to sort through like the thousand things on their plate. And it's not as though when I'm confused why they haven't made progress, that it's just because they aren't working. It's because like I haven't made that clear. And so I think a lot of this is just really putting things in place so that they can perform, and it's just clear what matters. And like I think we've improved at making like, hey, this is our big picture. This is where we're going, and people get that. But I don't think it's as clear where the individual role fits in. And it's like, that's kind of the big thing that we'll be working on.
And I think you know, rocks or OKRs or whatever, like taking the time to literally put it on paper and share it with the team and say like, okay, for this quarter, this is the thing. And we're going to be talking about this thing for 90 days. And hopefully at the end of it, we have something to show. Like, I think that's a really good starting point. And then like you get more granular from there, my experience, limited experience.
And yeah, so I think like for us, it's the next few weeks really are going to be figuring out what are these big priorities? What are the things that we actually need to do? For me, like I know what mine will be. And I do think that will be building out these systems, delegating better, but not just like when I say delegating better, I don't just mean like getting things off of my plate. It's doing so in a way where it's getting better results from everyone on the team. And I think that's where I feel a lot of my stress is like, it's just not feeling like I'm doing a good job of that, not being effective at it. And other people feeling frustrated too, when they don't really know what my expectations are or whatever else it may be. And then from here though, it's trying to figure out like, okay, like what are all those expectations? What are the things that each individual person will be responsible for? But so it'll be a bit more planning for me, but I know you talked about already digging into the OKRs a bit. What are those starting to look like?
Yeah. So it's so like this quarter that we're just finishing now, we had kind of one set of OKRs for the company. And so it was an objective and three key results. And it encapsulated or incorporated most all of the company, but not on a super specific level. And this quarter, really breaking it down to like each of the groups or individual, like, you know, key individuals in the company to say like, okay, sales has their set of OKRs, marketing has their set of OKRs. And really it's just like each level is more specific, but they all flow up to the main and support like the main set of OKRs. So those are the conversations I've been having this week. So I set the company level OKRs and then had discussions in the last week or so with each of kind of the people or groups to talk about like, okay, this is what we said as a company objective, and these are the kind of handful of key results. Then they take those key results and frame them as a set of OKRs. Like we want to, you know, improve trial to paid conversion ratio is one of them, you know? And so chatted with, you know, that person about, okay, how are we going to do that? You know, what are the things that need to happen for that to be successful? And it was super interesting to have six of those discussions with six very different people who think about that six very different ways. And like, I think that's necessary to have that flexibility while at the same time having a framework that you follow. So that's where we are. And we'll report on those kind of group or individual level OKRs in like those group meetings every week. And the company will report on the company level OKRs in our Monday meeting.
And so are you... when you set one around trial conversion rate, are you putting numbers like we want to increase it 2x or just we want to increase it?
Yeah. So a key result should be quantitative. Yeah. So it should have a number. So like sales to sell this much stuff or trial to paid conversion ratio or development to ship these five features or, you know, whatever it is.
What would the objective be then?
So like on a company level, the objective is to, you know, say like kick ass as a private podcasting provider, right? It's really qualitative and subjective, but it's like the end result of
like we want to be the leading private pod, like we want to be like the thought leader in private podcasting. It's like, okay, like what do we have to do to make that true?
And then each group does the same thing. So like each, so, you know, again, trial to paid conversion ratio. And then they reframe that as a qualitative statement, right? Is, you know, make onboarding and customer experience awesome, right? And the way they'll do that is by X, Y, and Z. Each level is just more specific. And you can imagine like individuals would have OKRs at some point.
And so the parts that's always been a struggle with me with OKRs is like, say, I'm going to make up random numbers because I don't want you to have to like feel like you need to like open the kimono too much. But like, say you're trying to get a trial conversion rate to go from 10 to 15%. What would be a sub thing from that? Like, because honestly, I feel like a lot of times you don't know. It's like conversion rate optimization, but like, what? How would you break that down into something like something that is discrete in the sense that it is a completable action.
Yeah. So that's been the interesting thing this week is each group is really different. So like marketing is the easiest, like sales and marketing is the easiest. It's like close this many deals of this type or get this many leads of this type. Things like, you know, for like success and support and even development is a little more difficult. But think about like we want to survey customers and get, you know, 3 insights that we didn't know before. Maybe that would be a key result. We want to, you know, revamp onboarding and see, you know, increase page views per visit or something like that for people in the app. You know, I'm just making things up, but those are the kind of things that we're thinking about. And we're not done, like, especially with some of those key results are harder to define. And for me, that's been the hardest part of OKRs is like clearly defining those key results that make sense to support the overall company goal. Because sometimes they kind of just don't, but they're important, you know?
Right. It's like, as I start digging at traction, I'm sure I'm going to have some questions, some concerns about this. I know you've done a lot of thought into like what systems to use there, but ultimately, like if this is getting a bit more meta, but it's like, as you work on instituting OKRs, so I know you're like, you've tested the waters with it where you just had like a few for the company last quarter and now are just getting more specific. What's driving you to do that? Like, what do you think it will help the team achieve? What's the ultimate goal for that?
Yeah, it goes back to what we were talking about with like process and visibility and accountability is, you know, it's a framework through which everybody knows what everyone else is focusing on, and the outcomes of those efforts and focus is visible to everybody. Like that's what I'm hoping for. Because then a lot of the questions about like, what does this person do or how is this thing going or whatever are like, they're not questions anymore because it's all right there. So a little bit of it is prioritization and focus, you know, upfront, and then the tracking and reporting and visibility on it for everybody so that everybody knows kind of what each person or group is doing.
What do you think is going to be even before we get into the future, like so far, what has been, you talked about like personally setting some of the key results can get tricky, but going deep in that, like what have been some of the hardest parts about rolling this out?
The hardest part for sure has been like, there's 2 ways that folks say you can, and I know this is your criticism of OKRs. There's not like a way, but there's 2 ways that folks say you can like report on the key results throughout the quarter. One is like a confidence level that you'll achieve it at the end of the quarter. And the other is like progress. Like we're 60% of the way there to this like finite number. We did the confidence score this time. And that was a mistake because it's just like, it's
going to be like 80 or 90% until it's 0.
And that's exactly what it was. Oh, we're 60, we're 70, we're 85, we're 20. And then now it's over. And, you know, some of them we hit and some we didn't. And so moving to a progress score and having 100% having quantitative key results, let's like, you could just pipe Google Analytics or HubSpot leads or whatever into the spreadsheet we track this in. And that, like, there's no guessing. It's like, that's a number and we hit it or we didn't. And that's where we are. And so like, that is going to help. But what that will do is then free up a lot of this hemming and hawing that we've been having to talk about the problems we're having of achieving our goals, you know, and like, that's the real, and that's what I think, you know, EOS does really good is you have these issues and you talk about the issues, you know, and that is something we didn't do enough of is like, okay, you know, support is having an issue with this thing. Let's talk about it and let's get a plan so that in the next 7 days, this can be better. And we can talk about it in a different way next week. Like that is something we didn't do. And that's just my fault for not framing OKRs the right way. But I think like I can see if we do that right, they'll be super powerful because like visibility and these micro adjustments will like happen automatically throughout the quarter.
Yeah. And I think for me, this gets into why I do think I need to more deliberately just say no to new marketing things because I think a lot of it is not even just a lack of explanation, but it's a lack of attention and accountability where it's easy to like lay out this system of, all right, like even if it's not that complicated, I'm just saying, here's what we're doing. But then when you're a month and a half into the quarter, and it's been a really stressful last couple of weeks and whatever else. And like, you'd rather just like get through this meeting. And if things aren't tracked the right way, if you're not following exactly the right way, it's easier just like, all right, like this is fine. That's like, honestly, like, for me, like that's where I feel like I'll go off the rails is just in the sense of just like, we'll lose track of this is if I'm trying to do too many other things and I'm not saying like, this is my one thing, then I'm not going to have the discipline in the middle of it to be like, oh no, I don't want to like say anyone's names because like no one's jumping out at me specifically. Like, I don't want to like call someone out and be like, oh, like, sorry, like this isn't in Notion. Like this is where we're tracking everything. Like it's got to be in there. And like, then like if it happens again, be like, all right, like we need to talk about this because this is a serious thing. Like if I'm getting pulled in 1,000 other directions, I'm just like, ah, this is good enough. Like, let's just keep doing this. And I think like that's where it's like, that was pretty much my attitude last year. And again, like I can't like beat myself up about it too much. We had a very good year and we built an amazing team, but I think we'll all do better and probably be more fulfilled along the way if we can be more effective. And I just know me personally, like that was a very short-sighted thing and it might've gotten the results, but at a lot of my personal expense. And so I think it's now just saying like, all right, like I got to hit pause on some stuff, say no to a lot of things and just focus on getting this figured out.
The way that I think about this, and maybe this will be a cliffhanger to end the episode in the year with, is like when I feel like I have done this well and have kind of arrived is when, and this is a really weird thing to say, I'll feel good about raising a bunch of money because then you will feel good that you can make these decisions and manage the team and the process and stuff at 4 times the scale that you are. I know it's a weird way to think about it. And you know, our bootstrapper friends will like roll their eyes, but like, it's even if you bootstrap it, like feeling like you could run a 50 person company. Like if you can't run a 5 or 10 or 15 person company, then like growth is going to be really painful, you know? And if you don't think growth will be super painful, then you're ready for it. And like, yeah, we've not been ready for a lot of our growth and it's worked out like you know, it's worked out because we've just like put the work in. But I think being a little more prepared for it, whether you raise money or you don't or whatever, like just makes that growth easier when it comes.
Yeah. And I mean, the only thing I would add is like for me on the raising money side is like, I think you've got to have the systems or at least the people in place who have done it before and know how they did it to like grow the team. But you also, I think, need to have a clear plan on like, here's what we're going to do and here's why we're confident it's going to work.
Totally. 100%. Yeah.
But which I think was implied. But I think the bigger like disclaimer I just want to add is I don't think there's going to be some founder nirvana where everything's just easy. I think you can get to a spot where you can plateau and be comfortable with it, make a good amount of money and just like coast for a while. Like that's fine. I don't think either of us really are looking for that. And so I think if we do want to continuously and ambitiously grow, that there's going to be a lot of discomfort along the way. And so like, I want to make sure I'm like being realistic with myself and that like, I don't want to just bitch about the growing pains because there's always going to be those. But it's just figuring out like, all right, like what are the things that are solvable problems that I'm still banging my head against the wall a year later? And why don't I just fucking solve them? And I think like, that's kind of where I'm at, where it's like, no, like I'm not going to pretend it's going to like next year's going to be easier. But I think there's just a lot of simple things that we can do a lot better for all of our own sakes. And it's just like, it just took me a year of banging my head against the wall to like be like, all right, like I just need to take this seriously. So hopefully again, like the end of the day, end of the year, can't complain. Very proud of like what we've done. And it is nice to take that step back, but it's also, it's just kind of my personality, the time to be like, all right, like here's what I got to do differently and what we have as a team have to work on. And so I think that stuff's coming together and it'll be fun chatting about it with you and everyone listening for another year.
Absolutely. Hope everyone has a great holiday season. Hope you're able to take some time away to reflect like Andy and I kind of are and have, and we'll be back at it in 2022.
Awesome. Well, happy holidays and happy new year, everybody.